MadPipe Madcast.
Welcome to the MadPipe Madcast, where we talk about marketing strategy and bring marketing insights to businesses and nonprofits. I'm Daniel DeGree, your host, and today my guest is Rana Sackles, Director of Marketing and Sales for Insignia Title in New York City. Rana is a prodigy in the area of relationship marketing, networking, and events. Rana, could you first just take a minute and talk a little bit about what you do?
Sure. I work for a title insurance company here in New York that's also a national company, and my job is to build brand recognition to attorneys and real estate brokers, mortgage loan officers, the people that in the end are the ones that are going to be ordering title, that are in the real estate industry, that have influence over title. And not only just that, the people that would give us direct business, but the people that would give them business, and about building their name and about giving referrals and helping their business grow. Because when their business grows, when our referral network, their business is growing, then our business grows. So that is one part of what I do. Another part is, as the director of sales, I coach and I train new salespeople in the art of not just selling, but in networking. Because our industry is very relationship-based, and it's not an easy industry to be in, and it's all about who you know.
So that's a pretty important skill set to have, to be able to do sort of relationship-based sales and marketing. So tell me, how did this happen? How did you get into this business? How did you manage to build up a sufficient referral network of sufficient size, sufficiently diverse, that you could be successful in your role?
Sure. It's a funny story. I was on the train. Only happens in Manhattan, where you're on the subway and you get a job being on the subway. And I came to New York from Chicago thinking I was going to work in TV, in music, fashion. And I met a good family friend on the subway who was a real estate broker. She said they were looking to hire someone, and I was in school at the time for marketing management. And they said they're looking for someone for part-time. So I thought it was just a regular, same old office job, filing. Turns out it was a real job where I was hired to be the continuing legal education coordinator, which attorneys need continuing education credits. And one of the forms of marketing for this title company that I got a job with was they would give free CLE classes. So my job was to coordinate them, be in contact with the attorneys, be in contact with the people that were going to be teaching classes. And those are the influentials, the leaders, the speakers of the industry. So that's how I started meeting the people that are part of my network. And from there, I took over the marketing, since the marketing director went on maternity leave and took over a role. The market crashed, and I learned a lot from the real estate market crashing and who was really out there, who really wanted to maintain their business, maintain their focus, just be consistent, be constant, because most people fell to the wayside once, you know, times got rough. But the ones that stayed at it, the ones that kept networking, the people that kept on coming back to me, asking me, you know, who do you know that knows about this? Who do you know that, you know, can refer me X business? And I was like, oh, wait, everyone needs to know somebody, especially when times are hard. So I built and built and built off of actually the market crashing. I built from there. So that's how I started my book of referral partners.
Wow, that's an interesting synergy. You know, MadPipe started its business at the same time and in the same way, really. I got into digital strategy as a result of the real estate crash. I was working at the largest real estate marketing and company in the world, provider to real estate agents, mortgage, et cetera. And so when they laid off most of their workforce and I found myself out in the market, I founded a business to sort of continue helping them grow their companies at a time when it was the worst possible time to try to grow your company. You know, if you could survive that, you could survive anything. And so the proposition I used to give them is, wow, well, if I keep you in business, you'll keep me in business. And so the proof is that you'll still be here in 6 months, right? And then, of course, when times got better, it just kept growing from there. So interesting that we both started in real estate. We both started at that pivotal moment. You put together, in the course of what you do, you put together networking events. You do a lot of network marketing. How would you characterize that type of marketing, or what you do exactly in the area of events specifically?
So how I got into more event marketing is during this time when the crash happened, people had all this time on their hands and they wanted to network. The ones that wanted to stay constant, the ones that wanted to stay relevant, they wanted to network and they wanted to know people. So I was like, how can I monetize this? How can I build relationships off of this? So I started a event production company focusing on real estate professionals because that was my network. And we would have events all the time of just bringing these quality people that we know that are huge, you know, real estate attorneys, loan officers, real estate brokers that are just hungry for business when there wasn't so much and just wanted to, didn't want anybody to forget about them. Because the market is a ride. It's a roller coaster. Some days, some weeks, some months are going to be great. Others, it's just going to crash. And you want to be there with the people that are going to be with you, that are there to support you. So we started having events where there would be cocktail parties at night. You get a different crowd than you would get somebody in the morning. The attorneys like to come to something in the morning. They like to network in the morning, do something for breakfast, and then go to work because sometimes they're just stuck there. You get a different group of people for each. So we tried to help everybody. We did some more continuing legal education seminars because attorneys had more time on their hands, which then resulted in they didn't have to run back to the office. So now I got more time to actually speak to these attorneys, learn what their niche is. Some attorneys only specialize in foreign buyers. Some only specialize in purchasing. Some in, you know, selling. So you're learning more and more about every attorney and loan officer's individual business that at the time when market was booming, you didn't have that one-to-one time with anyone and get to really know. So these events, people would show up and I'd follow up with them. And I would want to learn about their business. I want them to come to me as a resource, a referral resource, as, oh, do you know anyone that's looking for a buyer or a seller? Yeah, I know 100 brokers, but why should I use you to refer my personal contact? Let's build a relationship. So during the market when it wasn't so hot, I was able to build those relationships, and most of them I've maintained them.
That's awesome. So at these events, then what is your role? I mean, are you sort of going and getting one person and walking them over to somebody else? Are you emceeing? What do you do exactly?
So my role was to organize from soup to nuts, make sure that people showed up. And then once they were there, I would give them a list of every person that registered for the event, their name, their title, and their company. And that way, if they were interested in meeting somebody in the room, they could come up to me and be like, hey, Ruana, do you know John Smith at, you know, so-and-so law firm? I really want to meet him. I've heard about that they're doing this deal in this building, and I'm trying to get in there. I want an introduction. Is he here? And I'll go, yeah, of course, happy to walk over. I knew every single person that worked in the room that showed up to the event. I worked the room, made sure that everybody was talking to somebody. I kind of think of these events as a singles event. Everyone's there because they're single. Everybody wants to meet somebody. You just have to make sure as the event organizer that nobody's not talking to somebody. That's like the worst thing that can happen is somebody shows up, spends the money, or that spends their time to come to an event and they're not talking to anyone. I feel as an event organizer and a networker, you failed when somebody is not speaking to anyone.
So it sounds like there's a need to create a kind of flow. And when you get people together, you're creating a synergy between them. So how do you do that? How do you ensure that nobody's standing alone? How do you ensure that people aren't just going through some ritual motion, but they're actually generating some kind of synergy?
Sure. Before any event, I didn't just blast it out to, you know, a million people. I would go through my network and see who I know that these people that were going to attend, that they actually clicked. It wasn't thousands of people in a room. It was maybe between 80 and 120. Our bigger cocktail parties were up to like 160, 200. Those were more social fun, but the breakfasts that we would have, those people are spending their mornings, they're waking up early. They want value. So I would go through the list of people that I had, and I would really think about who to invite and why I'm inviting them and why they should get up early, why they should come to my event, because I'm really taking the time of thinking about what their business is and why they would be a good fit. I there are so many people in real estate that can do business with each other, but not that everybody in the room wants to necessarily be there with the other person. Like a commercial broker doesn't really want to be at the same party necessarily as somebody in residential because they're looking for two different things. Sure, maybe they can, you know, network with each other if he knows somebody that's trying to sell an apartment. But he really wants to know the commercial guys, the guys that are, you know, selling office space, the guys that are leasing, the guys, the construction guys. They don't, it's a whole different ball field. And once you learn the industry of real estate, you know who works with who wants to meet who. So I think that that's really what separated and made my events really successful.
So when you're at these events as a participant, you know, you go to a lot of sort of networking events and it's like, it is like a singles thing, but it's like speed dating. So you go up, you carry a huge stack of business cards, you give somebody your card, you ask two questions, what do you do? And, you know, what's your name? What do you do? And then you give the same two answers, you know, this is my name and this is what I do. And then you move on to the next person and you hope that, you know, 1 out of 100 of those business cards comes back to you. And that's the kind of sort of cheesy, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that as a general ritual. You know, you need to have something to guide you through, especially in New York City, you need to have something to guide you through the social / business professional environment of after hours. But what is really optimal behavior at such an event? Is it that? Is there something more relaxed? You know, coach me as, and some of our listeners as professionals and business owners, when we go to an event, what's optimal behavior?
Optimal behavior. So I guess the first thing you have to start with is the mindset that you're walking into the event. You know, are you there because you want to pick up a million business cards and then that's your sales pitch. You go in, you give it as many business cards, you collect them all, and then you go back home and you go through them all, you look them up, and you figure out who you really want to follow up with. Is that what you're doing? Because if that's what you're doing, that's one form. But if you're really there to build relationships, before you walk in, like, breathe. I watched a TED Talk about life hacks, and one of the speakers did a whole 20-minute video on poses. On power poses. And if you just do a power pose 2 minutes before you walk into a meeting, then that will change your, I guess, aura and the way that you perceive yourself, because now you think you're powerful. Therefore, other people are going to be drawn to that. So I thought that was really interesting. So if you walk in and you relax yourself and you're like, I'm here because I want quality, not quantity, I think you'll walk away with those quality referrals and those quality cards. And when you walk up to somebody, it's not necessarily, yes, what do you do? What's your name? Sure. But differentiate yourself. I'm a real estate broker that specializes in the Asian market. Oh, well, you know, my neighbor, you know, her mother is in China and she wants to come here, but they don't really, it's hard for her to communicate with somebody here that they're looking to move their money to, you know, real estate in New York because it's a good place to put your money. I can't get, you know, my regular, you know, best friend to do the deal because there's a communication gap. Maybe my best friend isn't the best person for me to refer. Now I have this person in front of me that just differentiated themselves and all the other brokers in the room. Yeah, this one does Queens, this one does Brooklyn, but why? Why is that your niche? Were you born there? Were you raised there? So if you go in and you differentiate yourself and you just take your title or your industry title just to a different level, people, you know, look at you and start thinking because, oh, yeah, I know a million brokers. Oh, I know a million attorneys. But why you? I think that is very key. Very firm handshakes. I'm a believer of the firm handshake and eye contact. My biggest pet peeve is a dead fish handshake and not looking at me when I'm talking to you or you're talking to me and looking around the room. I think it's so rude.
And for those of you that can't see what we're doing right now, which is the entire audience, I am looking around the room during the podcast. So, you know, but that's because I have a lot of duties as the host of the show. So good feedback. So let me ask you, it sounds a little bit like, you know, we've had a recent episode on thought leadership, and it sounds a little bit like thought leadership translated into an in-person context, you know, that you have to stand out. And your standout is not just the purple suit and the loud yellow tie, but it's really what differentiates you. How do you lead your industry? Why you versus everybody else that does what you do? So that's good feedback. And it sounds like there's incredible opportunity at some of these networking events. I mean, I'm sure some of our listeners, they hear you saying, oh, you know, I know somebody that wants to move their money in China. And they're like, oh, I can do that. Or I know somebody can do that. Where is this network meeting of which you speak? So the opportunities are there. But what I'm getting from you is it can't just be A to B, hand to mouth. You can't just go in and think, I'm going in, I'm going to give out X amount of business cards, I hope I get a client, I'm going to then leave, and the success is based on what I do. But there's more of a gentle sort of relationship building, networking, a longer term sort of strategy involved. If you're going just to sort of like fill a cafeteria tray and scarf something down, it's probably not the role. So I want to know two things. One, do you concur with that? Is there more that you would have to say? And two, do you have a power pose? Do you stand outside, and what do you do exactly? Because I want to see the Rana Sackles power pose in my mind. Do you have a power grip? You know, like when you squeeze, do you really squeeze the hand and break it? So
the whole food tray, I definitely think that the best meetings and the best people that I've met at networking events just tell them what I do, my name, and then that is it. I'm stop talking. You know why I'm here. You know my industry. You know, all right, fine, I work in title insurance. Let's move past that. We both know we're here because we want business, but let's build a relationship besides business. Let's talk about, the game, if there's a TV on. What are you wearing if it's another girl? I walked up, the best referral I got is I saw a girl across the room, and I was like, you know what? She has amazing nail polish on, that color. Where'd she get it? And I walked up to her, and we're really good friends now because I asked her what nail polish. They just, people don't want to be like, oh, this, you know, she's just talking to me because I have business that I can refer to her. You want to make it like, you're funky, or where do you live? Oh, what do you do over the weekend? Something crazy weird. Or they have a beautiful necklace. It's so funny. The way that I kind of learned that is there's this guy called the Pickup Artist.
Oh, yeah.
And he's all about wearing outrageous pieces of clothing and focusing on that and wanting to know the background story. And then that gets the person talking about themselves. So if you can find something on that person or around the room and just have that person talking, you'll build on that. And you'll be like, you know what? I have to leave. I'm so sorry. Let's grab coffee. Let's finish this conversation. When are you free? So now it's about, it's about me, not necessarily so much business. You build that relationship, and then the business will come.
So that's, I really like that. So first off, I think that I will have trouble if I went up to somebody and said, you have just such adorable nail polish. I had to come over here. I might get a different reaction. Yeah. But even with some of the men, I might get, say, Jim, that tie is truly stunning. I'm willing to try. And I think your point, though, is that it's not really a business meeting. Like, you know, I set up a networking event that now meets monthly. And one of the feedback of about 20% of the participants at the beginning, they've changed their tune now. But initially it was like, is this going to be a tight, structured business meeting? What are we going to accomplish? It should be an agenda. How much time we're going to spend on each item, et cetera. And I sort of wrote back and said, look, you know, part of networking is building the actual personal relationship. You build a sense of trust by getting to know who the person is as a person. It's not just a better commercial. It's not just, let's cover specific business objectives. But there is that, you know, hey, let's have a free dance lesson as part of the event, or let's break out and do some self-made tacos, you know, or barbecue. Or something like that. You know, there's a fun component, and there has to be that free, let's just have a beer and talk about the game. Because that's where you really sort of build a sense of who people are and they trust each other. So I hear you sort of delivering that message that, you know, it's not a business meeting, you have to build this. But it sounds, I want to ask you and push back and say, are you saying that the classic elevator pitch that we all build, you know, the 30-second version, the 60-second version, and we get that ready so precisely so that we're at one of these networking events and I can say, yes, in 20 seconds I can tell you what I do, that time is actually better spent in sort of developing our our sense of personality, or are you saying it's both? What's your advice?
I say go with the feedback, the body feedback that you're getting from the other person. If they seem like they just want to talk business, then yeah, pull out that 20-second pitch. I know from experience, I like phase out when people are talking like that. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I can figure out what you do. I don't need you to, like, I want to meet other people here. I'm here to meet people, not to meet a business, if that makes sense. That's how I walk into a networking event. I want a relationship from somebody because my industry is so relationship-based that it's so hard to get in with a real estate attorney or a mortgage broker without having that, you know what? She was so nice to me. You know what? I really just want to help her because I like her. It's so hard to get those relationships because they already exist, you know, 20 years before you. But if you can go in and nobody wants somebody to ask them for, nobody wants somebody going after you and give me. I want to build that relationship, you know? If you have a transactional business like a flower shop, okay, that's great. You know, these are the flowers that I do. Oh, I would love to show you on Instagram this amazing thing that I did. That's fine. But I think if you have a business where it's more about building the relationship and sustainability, nobody wants to be pitched to.
I think that's a key call out. So, you know, I think a lot of business owners maybe need to take stock of what kind of business relationship they have. So if you run an online pet supply store, you are a transactional business. People are not going to download your app or spend all day in your personal pet store social media network. They're going to interact with you and then go back to what they're doing. If you are, on the other hand, a business consultant, or you're somebody that is going to potentially come in and overhaul somebody's financial investments, you have more of a consultative relationship. It's going to be ongoing. There's going to be multiple contacts. But either way, that transactional business still needs to learn something from the consultative side that, you know, we're not just there to close the deal and move on about our lives. We're not a walking shopping cart, in other words.
Right.
So I want to ask you about, because I wasn't going to ask this, but you seem to have a real handle on people's behavior and who shows up, people's behavior and who shows up to these networking events. So I want to ask you about four types of people that I typically meet at the event. What's your experience with it? How do you deal with it? What's your advice for me? Because I go and I shake my head and I go, oh, I know who I'm talking to one of these. So here are the four. Number one, the competitor. The person that is there, and the moment they start talking to you, they've either sought you out because of this, or they realize that you're in direct competition with one another, and they're feeling you out for sort of what tips they can get, or what you're doing that they're not doing, or they just basically want to nail down, are they at risk? Are they exposed? And it makes the conversation a little bit tedious and uncomfortable and awkward, right? Because there's an agenda. So for the competitor. Secondly, the braggart. So this person, there's one in every networking meeting, comes up and it's like, well, how long have you been doing this? Oh, well, I've been doing it 10 extra years than that. And how many customers you got? And every question they ask you is based on, so they can say, oh, well, I've got five times that. Have you seen my LinkedIn profile? And then on and on and on, they're one-upping, they've got a status. So they're the braggart, the guy that the whole conversation seems to be based around that. And that's a different agenda. And I'm not saying this is even 30% of the people that go, but I think about 10 to 20%. I think it's like the 80-20 rule. Most of the marketing is done by, you know, 20% of the people, and 80% of the people are sort of there, right? And so then there's the utilitarian. That's the person that sort of is just having conversation with you to see if you're useful. And so the moment they sort of don't feel an instant synergy, their eyes are looking around, they're looking over your shoulder at who else they might go up to. It is very much like being in one of those social dating environments where you can tell after 10 seconds the girl's not interested and she's looking at the hunk behind you. And it's like, okay, how can I gracefully get out of this conversation? I just want to say it's okay. You can go to him, be with him, you know, be with Prince Charming. And so that's the utilitarian. And lastly, the dater. So the dater, I'll run through these again but the dater is the person that they're having a very interested, very focused conversation with you. Like they're deeply into what you do. And before long, you realize they want to go out with you. That this is not, this, they're not just getting to know you. They're getting to know you. And, you know, it's like, can I have your email? And, oh, that's interesting. We should get together sometime. And maybe it's great if you're into that. That's great. That business is one way to meet people. But if you're not, you wonder, kind of, this is awkward. What do I do? You know, I don't want to express rejection, but this wasn't really where I was going. Okay, so the competitor, the braggart, the utilitarian, the dater. Can you give me some tips for our listeners on how we deal with these inevitable personalities at networking events?
Okay, so I think right off the bat, you have to be the bigger person in the room. Always smile. I always am smiling, and sometimes it looks a little forced, but if you're smiling, the other person is usually somebody else is mimicking your body language. So if you're smiling, they're going to smile. And if you say, like the competitor, it's so nice, we're competitors, or, you know, I know we're in the same industry, and, you know, it's great to have friendly competition. You know, I really think that maybe, and you know what, sometimes it's good to talk to the competitor. You know, kind of let them do the talking if they're the ones that are coming up to you. And then always, you know, excuse yourself. Like, that's so nice. You know what? Somebody just walked in here that I really needed to speak to. You know, I'll circle back. I'm sure we'll bump into each other again. The braggart, also put a smile on your face and be like, that's really great. Like, I can't wait to work up to those many years and to have the experience and flip it around back on them where they're like, oh. And then the utilitarian.
A user is what some people call it.
Yeah. Those, you know what? I think you learn it. You learn those people and with experience. You know, there's different types of users, and just always, you can always excuse yourself. Nobody's saying that you have to be there and have to talk to them. And the dater, also, you just have to have confidence and be like, it's so nice. And don't ever grab drinks with them after work. Be like, I would love to grab a cup of coffee with you in the morning. And they're like, huh? Like, oh, those are the only times I'm free. And then usually they just leave you alone. Yeah. And if you follow up, just be like very, you know, firm. Like, I'm happy to get together as long as it's in a business, you know, context. You know, my personal life is off limits. I don't mix my business with my personal life. It's just a rule that I go by. And just say it with a smile and, like, shake their hand afterwards. It was so nice to meet you. I'm sure we'll bump into each other later this night, you know. Right. Good luck. Just put on that stupid smile and just know that you are your person. You're your own person. And I had this conversation with one of my colleagues. There are so many people in an event that work in title. There's tons of us. So how do you differentiate yourself? Mm. Relationships. Sure, everyone offers great service. Everyone offers all. Everyone can say the same thing. Our industry is regulated, so we can't offer discounts, cuts, or anything like that. So it's all about relationships. And this one other company has a lot of females that work for them. And he's like, oh, it's so intimidating. I'm like, I'm not intimidated. I know that person knows nothing about the industry. I know she's just there for the sake of being there, just to, like, get business cards. In the end, who does the client want? Someone that actually can answer their questions in a timely fashion? Someone that knows people? Someone that can create value for them? I am so not intimidated. And if somebody wants somebody like that, I don't want you as a client. So that's how I think about it when I walk into an event where I know that I have my competitors in the same room. Happy to say hello, but I don't want to waste their time. I hope they don't want to waste mine. And if they want to waste my mind, I'm happy to excuse myself when I feel like there's a little lead out. Nobody's saying you have to stand there and talk to them all night.
It sounds like you have a lot of experience with each of these, you know. And so a colleague of mine, you know, he said for the braggart, figure out what it is the person wants to hear. You know, yes, you are awesome. You know, and just say that.
Exactly.
Give them what they
want.
That's
amazing. 10 years of experience. Can't wait till I hit that mark.
Exactly.
You must have so much knowledge.
And I can't see you being intimidated, you know, at all. You know, you're out there doing your power pose. Yes. You come in with the power handshake.
Yes.
And I just don't see it happening. So I'm going to wind down the episode, Ron, by asking you just a couple of additional questions. And then we'll finish up. So how do you know which events, as a professional you should be sort of choosing versus, I mean, there's so many networking events. If you're in the middle, if you're in Missouri, maybe, you know, not, maybe there's, you know, once a month, there may be some opportunity and it may be the Rotary Club if in rural Missouri. But if you're in a thriving city like Los Angeles or New York City, you know, we're inundated with events. There's five or six rooftop ones every evening, every weekday evening. So how do you know which ones to focus on, to attend? How do you know when to turn up your nose and go, no, that's not my priority. I don't have time. I need to know how to choose.
So I think if you're just starting off in the industry, go to everything. Hmm. Meet as many people as you can. Not saying going in business card, many in business card, many. Just meet people. Just be open to your network, open your pool of contacts. Just go out there, meet people, go to every event. And then you learn from the events which ones are worth your time the next time around, which ones are not. I think that getting involved in charity organizations is a great way to meet people because the focus isn't on business, it's on the charity. And then you build relationships on a different level with the person. I ran the New York City Marathon with the Alzheimer's Association. I would never meet half any of those people in a business sense for the most part. In my personal life, it's just not who I network or meet. But because now I have this relationship with all these people that's based on a charity and something that we're so passionate about that we're willing to run 26.2 miles and raise $3,500 each, that built a relationship with those people that I don't have with my clients or with my best friends. It's just like a different relationship that I know I can go to them and they're like, you know what? This person is so like me in this one sense, or we totally get each other on a different level. Something that's very emotional, something that's very personal. So I want to help them because we help each other going through, you know, this horrible disease, and being able to talk to somebody that actually knows what I'm going through just builds a relationship on a whole different level. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a disease organization. It could be raising money for, you know, children education. That's something you're passionate about. Someone learns about you on a different level. So getting involved in charity organizations, I think, is a fantastic way to meet people that you normally wouldn't find in your own personal network or when you go to those meetup groups, because the focus isn't, everybody there is not focused on making money, about building their business. They're focused about something else. And then you learn about the person on a different level. And then you're like, I don't think I learned about what anyone did in that during those 6 months of training until maybe 4 or 5 months in. And we'd come, everybody would show up after work, take off your work clothes, put on your running gear, and you just run. And you're focusing on something else. And once I started learning about what some of these people do, we actually, some of us work in the same industry or can refer each other. And we have a great group of people that we work together because of this charity.
So those are great tips. So number one is choose at least one networking event or type of event that does not involve sort of this face-to-face, let's exchange business cards, but it's more like you're working on something together. That's really great advice. You know, one of the top tips for fathers and sons that need to communicate better is quit facing each other, partly because that's the traditional male sign of aggression. Males of the mammalian, in the mammalian world, face each other to express aggression. But instead, face something else. Face the lake and fish. Put your heads under the hood of the car and work on it together. Do something that involves a shared activity, that builds a stronger bond. And that kind of generalizes across all kinds of relationships as well. So that's advice I haven't heard before in a networking sort of context, in a relationship marketing context. So that's useful. And the other thing is sort of, you know, the trust the process. I'm sort of envious of some of the people that did start out by going to an endless number of events. And I'm like, how do they find the time? I was already busy. I would tell myself I can't pull the time to do it, but I would spend time on other types of marketing. And in fact, those people now know everybody. Because they just did treat that as like a high priority marketing portion of the company is, I'm going to go to everything. I'm going to choose to make it a priority to know everybody. And those people move and shake in the world. So it's really something I've had to play catch up on. And it's useful to hear that advice for anyone starting out up front. Last question. Ruana, are you available to help other people in the audience put together their networking event? Are you just working for Insignia Title? How do we get you? Because I know there's going to be some people in the audience that are like, oh yeah, I really want to talk to that person more.
Sure, I'm always open to a conversation.
See, I can see the master networkers at work. So any last advice as we wind down the show to our audience?
Yeah, firm handshake, eye contact, and smiling. It really separates you from everybody else because you just look more confident when you walk into a room. And don't put pressure on yourself that you have to walk away with a bunch of cards and come back to your office the next day and, you know, report back to your boss or your manager or whoever it is that, you know, we spent all this money for you to go to this event and where are all the cards? Well, I met this one really good referral person, this one great potential client. Wouldn't you rather me spend the money and the time on cultivating one person than getting a whole bunch of fluffy cards and just sending it? I think you just have to walk in knowing that you shouldn't have such high expectations and don't put too much pressure on yourself. Because you'll walk into so many events where you'll meet nobody. Everyone is a dud. And don't take anybody for granted. You never know who knows somebody. I was at an event. I went with a colleague of mine. And it was for a charity that had a real estate component. And there were a bunch of commercial retail office space brokers there. They heard that we worked in title insurance. So like, oh, we don't want to talk to you. Like, they were so rude to us. That night, my friend, he calls me, and he says, I am looking for a commercial broker. I need an office space stat. Do you know anyone? I was like, you know what? I was just an event where I met five of them. Did any one of them give me their card? No. Did any single one of them tell me their name besides their limp handshake? Oh, yeah, they gave me, like, some half-hearted, you know, shrug, whatever it was. They blew me off. I could have referred one of them, a potential new client. But instead, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I have another guy that, you know, I'm building a relationship with that actually wanted to take the time and get to know me, even though he can't actually refer me any business. But, you know what? Turns out I'm in the position that I can refer him. So that's what I did. And all five of those walked out. They lost a potential client because they just didn't think that I was any value to them. So you never know.
That's part of the process. Trust where it goes. Don't expect immediate results. It's kind of like, you know, a company that says, hey, you went out to a networking event. I mean, did we get a single client off of that? And it's just one networking event. It's like getting online, how about we? And, you know, you filled out a profile. You had a date. How come you don't have a relationship right now? When are you going to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend? And it's a little too soon to do that. So I get it. You've been listening to the MadPipe Marketing Madcast, where we talk about marketing strategy and bring marketing insights to businesses and nonprofits. For more information from Juana, visit insigniabnt.com. That's insigniabnt.com. To get more episodes like this, visit madpipe.com/podcast or find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Thank you very much, Juana, for being on the show. The MadPipe Madcast.